and welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Final edition of the show in June. And really, you want to think about it, if you want to extrapolate it a little bit. Final edition of the show in any calendar month of the year without football until March of 2019. If you want to think of it that way, which kind of makes me feel good because we're right about that time of year where I start to tingle a little bit, and this is when I start going on YouTube and watching videos of like marching bands for college football or old clips of Bucks games for the NFL and just kind of start generally getting in the mood, and we're really almost there now. And I think a lot of people are feeling that way, except, as seems to be the case so often with the Bucks, although not like this, we've got a damper on things. And it's another show where we're going to talk about Jameis Winston. I talked about him last week thinking, okay, this is out of the way for a while. Then, of course, the news coming down Thursday afternoon of the official suspension. That in and of itself was not big news because, after all, we knew that was going to be announced. It just wasn't official yet. So when the word came down, and I was just about ready to record the show here, just doing regular stuff, talking about some other things, and then, of course, when the word came down, it was like, oh, okay, well, he's got three games. We knew that was going to happen. But it was actually a little worse than that because even though he got the suspension that had been reported he was going to get and it didn't differ from what the reports were, there were some telling things in there. And if you haven't followed it, and you may have, you know, there's been a ton of news about it. Of course, the Joes have had it covered top to bottom on JoeBucksFan.com. It's been all over Twitter if you're on that and everything else. But the main news of the day, beside the three-game suspension, which again, we already knew he was getting, is that this isn't any longer a he said, she said thing. The NFL went to great lengths to talk to as many people as they could, including the accuser. And Jameis Winston himself, in a statement, corroborated, basically admitted that what happened happened. And so it's no longer, oh, well, you know, we'll never really know for sure. You know, even thinking that he did it last week on the show, said, you know, nobody knows for sure. And I said, even if he didn't do it, though, just the appearance of impropriety with someone with his background, it's kind of amazing someone like him would make such a heinous mistake to even be in position to have to face accusations like this. And that was me being generous, not just automatically assuming he did it. Because, again, you try to give people, you don't just want to take one side of it. There's two sides to every story and all that. But now, there's only one side to it, and he did do it. And there's no defending it. And even Jameis Winston himself, in a statement that, yes, was part of the reason the suspension is only three games. Because, folks, this meets a criteria that could have called for a longer suspension. And it's actually kind of curious that it wasn't, because we know how the NFL is and how Roger Goodell loves to just mete out these severe punishments, won't hear arguments from anybody else about it, and just unilaterally imposes his will. Except this time they made a deal with Jameis Winston. Like, they actually said, okay, you know what, don't appeal, write a letter or make a statement admitting you did it. On and on and on. You do that, we'll keep it at three games, and we'll move on from there. Which is not very NFL-like, considering their history of dealing with other people. Ezekiel Elliott and many others. But anyway, the point I'm at now, today, and I said on the show last week, there's a lot of ways of looking at this, depending on where you are on the spectrum. There's the whole, again, the far extreme one end. I don't even call it extreme, because it's not extreme at all. It's a perfectly valid opinion. But there's one end of the spectrum. Cease doing business with him immediately. Tell him he's being let go. That's that. We're moving on. And just start rebuilding your franchise however you have to. But don't worry about that. Just do the right thing and get rid of him. There's those people. And again, that's not, I'm not even saying that's extreme, because it's not. Then there's the other end of the spectrum. Oh, well, he made a mistake. You know, it's an alcohol thing, which it definitely was. But that doesn't excuse behavior. And he has alcohol issues, clearly. And he's supposedly been off alcohol now for a period of time. You know, this whole thing happened a couple years ago. But whatever, the point is, there's that side of people saying, oh, well, you know, he's only 24, alcohol played a factor. You know, he's going to have a three-game suspension. Let's give him a chance, and then let's see what he does over the final 13 games. And that's one end of the spectrum as well. and then there's somewhere in the middle. And I've evolved on this a little bit because, you know, I admit it completely, 100%. I was on this guy from not just day one when the Bucks drafted him, but I was on him from day one when he played as a redshirt freshman for FSU on Labor Day night in whatever it was, 2013, 2020, it was 2012. You know, the first game he ever started for FSU was in Pittsburgh. It was at Heinz Field, actually, against the Pittsburgh Panthers, and it was that Labor Day night opener you see a lot of teams do. And he started, and I, even that night, said, man, maybe the Bucks can get this guy in a couple years. Like, I've been on him since then, admittedly. And that was before he had any off-field baggage that we knew about. But then even through all the off-field baggage, even as we approached the draft 4 years ago, I was like, nope, this is the guy. Do it. I mean, I said all those things knowing what he had, you know, had hanging over his head in college. Because I didn't want to believe it, or I wanted to believe there was gray area or this and that. And it's really, really, really hard. I'm actually having a hard time tonight. Not because anything new happened. Again, you know, all this stuff that came down is not stuff that is just a shock to the system. We've kind of known this all along. But, you know, I read opinion columns from people like Tom Jones who say just cut him immediately. Or I talk to my friends who, a couple of which, and one of whom I mentioned on the show last week, said, you know what, screw this guy. I'm not a Bucks fan as long. And this is one of my most dearest friends. And along with me, two of the most diehard Bucks fans, not just in the past 10 years, but our whole lives, like going back to the 80s. And this guy, my buddy Drew, he wouldn't mind me mentioning his name, my buddy Drew, when the Bucks drafted him, said, if I had been the Glazers, I would have told Jason Light and the people working for me that he's undraftable, you're not allowed to touch him, do something else, and that would have been that. And when they didn't do that, when they actually selected Winston instead, he said, I can't support this franchise for now. He didn't say forever, but he said, as long as Jameis Winston is there, he's like, I can't do this. And I've lost him as a fellow Bucks fan for the past 4 years because of that, and I've hated that. And then I've got my own wife, who've always thought he was a POS, Winston I'm talking about, and who rolls her eyes because I try to, you know, again, have tried to say, well, you know, maybe this, maybe that. And you can't do that anymore. Like, you can't do that anymore. So, here's where we're at. There's two ways of looking at it. There's what you think should happen and what will happen. If you think that, like I said, I'm not touching the Bucks as a fan and the Bucks shouldn't touch him as a player, and until they move on from him, that's the way it's got to be. If you feel that way, that's fine. But then what actually will happen, and this is the part that, you know, I had a little bit of trouble communicating to people because Booger McFarland sent out a tweet earlier, and it was a tweet that I agree with just 1,000,000%. And it's not because, again, I think Winston's a good guy or I think he necessarily deserves. I think he's very lucky that he'll get a second chance, or actually, it's not a second chance, it's a third, fourth, fifth, whatever chance you want to call it. But, you know, Winston's going to get this. He's going to get this chance. Like, he's going to get this, in my opinion. I could be wrong. If the Glazers actually make a move, I will be very surprised. I'll be very surprised. But I'm not saying they won't. I could be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong many times before. And if I'm wrong about this, I'm wrong about it. But I'll be surprised if anything besides Jameis Winston serving the three-game suspension that's just starting like normal for game four, if anything other than that happens, I'll be very surprised. And Booger McFarland's tweet, and I don't know Booger personally, but I do enjoy his commentary, basically said, I'm trying to bring it up on my phone right now, my phone's jamming up, so I'll just paraphrase it. He basically said, look, Jameis Winston is at a crossroads in his life right now. He's got 13 games to show what he can do both on and off the field. If he does what he's supposed to do, he's going to get a $100 million contract. And if he doesn't, he'll go the way of Josh Freeman and those other types. As simple as that. And I think Booger McFarland's exactly right. I think that's what will happen. He'll serve the three-game suspension, and then whatever happens in those final 13 games, if he does well, this will be a distant memory. And he'll get another contract, and the Bucks will be, you know, I mean, the Bucks are in bed with Jameis Winston. They made that choice a long time ago. And so now they've got to be in bed with him, and they are. But, you know, looking at what the Glazers could do, and some people say, hey, Bobby, I've been fighting, not fighting, but I've been going back and forth with people on Twitter with my own friends. Oh, Bobby, they're going to cut him. You know, they're going to cut him. This is coming down. I don't think they're going to do that. I really don't. If they did that, I would not be surprised, and I would not complain, okay? I'm at the point now where, I mean, Jameis Winston's made himself too hard to defend. That doesn't mean I personally want him gone. I just, you know what? I just really, really effing wish I didn't have to deal with these conflicting things. And I could just be a goddamn Bucks fan without having to worry about any of it. And just, you know, even the losing, I dealt with. I mean, I was a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s. I've dealt with the losing. But all this conflicting stuff and having to, yeah, just, God almighty, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And so, I guess where we're at right now is just where you fall on the spectrum. I don't blame any of you, okay? I don't blame those of you who want him out and don't and just can't get behind the idea of him quarterbacking your team anymore. To me, that's a very valid and defensible position, even if, you know, someone else may not agree with it. And I can't fault the people on the other side who are just like, okay, well, you know, we can still kind of make a go of it. I mean, you know, I just want to love my football team and have them have a chance. And I don't just mean wins and losses. I just mean I want them to be out there and just, you know, be a team I can support and not have to, again, make bargains with myself or rationalize or any of this other crap. And it makes me upset that I have to. And it makes me the most upset at Jameis Winston, who, again, I literally can't believe. And maybe this is why I was slower to come around when this story all broke. I literally can't believe after having a rape accusation, whatever happened, guilty or not, after having a rape accusation in college, let alone all the other crap with the, you know, the BB guns and all the other stuff, the crab legs, whatever. After all that, and then you make it through all that. You have you could have squandered everything and lost everything, but you get through it, whether fairly or unfairly, and you still become the number one pick in the draft, and you still get your first contract, and you still have all that chance in front. And then to go out and do something like this after all that, it boggles my mind. I really just cannot believe that. And I'm not sure if I'll ever look at Jameis Winston the same again, even on the field, and just strictly on the field. Not off the field, but on the field, I have been a staunch defender of Jameis because I think he's pretty good. I really do believe that. I still believe that. And he gets a lot of crap on the field now for stuff from lots of people. Oh, he's not that good. And I think that's garbage. On the field, I've been defending him. But now, even for me, that's not because he's not good anymore all of a sudden, but just it's just hard to separate this stuff anymore. And we shouldn't have to. And, you know, I wasn't a stud athlete. I wasn't the big man on campus. You know, I didn't have hot girls coming back to my buddy's place or my place or anything like that right and left. Okay, so maybe it's just hard for me to imagine it, but I cannot imagine acting that way ever. And this is another thing. And look, I'm not trying to be paternalistic to you people out there. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your lives or anything, because there's plenty of people that drink alcohol for, you know, in varying quantities, varying frequencies for one reason or the other. And 95% of the time, it's totally fine for most people, okay? I'm not anti-alcohol. I personally don't drink it. It's not because of a moral issue or anything like that. I honestly just never liked the taste, so I never got into it. I consider myself lucky because that stuff really, truly, so little good comes from it. And you always hear people making jokes about alcohol, like, oh, man, it's beer 30 or this and that, and oh man, you know, I'm going to need a lot of alcohol to get through this, you know, just corny jokes like that, and that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but there are so many people, and I don't just mean the people who we know or have a problem. I'm talking about regular people in your everyday life, and I know them too, people who've never had an issue, people who aren't going to get in trouble because of it, but people who are really, really, really reliant on alcohol in their lives, and it's just not a good thing. And obviously, again, most people, the vast majority of people, can handle it, but Jameis Winston appears to be, and I have a few of these people too, who when they drink, just cannot just drink a little bit and have some fun with, just turn into complete and total asshats. And I'm not even saying that kind of trivializes what he did, because an asshat is somebody who, like, you know, makes a commotion at a party and throws up in the corner and kind of, you know, disrupts everything. That's an asshat, not someone who commits acts of sexual assault. But, I mean, he has said he's given up drinking. I credit him for that if that's true, and I hope he sticks with that. I mean, but still, folks, again, I'm not trying to be paternalistic or tell you how to live your lives, but alcohol should not play a central role in what you're doing ever. Even at a party, when you're going to a party and alcohol is part of the party, that's fine. But that should never be like the reason. Like, oh, I'm going to go get drunk tonight. It should never be the reason, ever. And believe me, again, I'm not some lily clean, you know, choir boy. I'm not ever saying that, but like, you know, growing up through high school and college, I was always the designated driver because my friends all drank, just like most people. And I just was never into it. Like, it never did anything for me. Just, and to this day, it does nothing for me. Even a beer. I'm not even talking about liquor. Even a beer. I drink it, and I'm just, and I don't drink them very often, but I'll have a sip of one, and I'm just like, God, this sucks. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me. And I don't like the idea of being in an altered state. I like to be in total control at all times, and I'm not a control freak, but I just mean, I don't like to be even buzzed. I just don't like that feeling. I like to be, you know, totally sober and totally in control of what's going on and knowledgeable about everything going on around me. That's how I am. I'm not judging people who drink. It's fine. But again, it should never be the main reason for whatever you're doing. And if you're going to a party, it's like, oh man, this is going to suck, but I'm just going to drink. It'll be fine. No, that you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. And that's not, I'm not connecting that to what Jameis Winston did. But the alcohol issue is clearly a huge one with him. And for those of you that are trying to defend Jameis Winston, that's probably your best bet is the alcohol angle. Like, hey, he's clearly got alcohol issues. If he can knock that off, he can be a good person. You know, I'd stick with that because that's about the only thing. And I'm not even saying it is an excuse because it's not. But that's about the only thing that you could try and point to and say, well, hey, maybe if he takes care of this and, you know, he had some issues and now that he's sober, you know, maybe that's what I'd ride with if you're a Jameis defender, because there ain't much to grab onto right now, okay? There's not. Here's Booger's tweet. My phone's working a little better now. Just to give you the exact quote. Booger's tweet was, pulling it up, he said, I got a new phone, it's not a good phone. Jameis is at a crossroad in his life. Put the drinking issue to bed, go ball out, and you will get $100 million. Continue to make poor decisions, professionally and personally. He'll be remembered no better than the last Tampa QB, Josh Freeman. It's all up to him. And again, I 1,000% believe that's what'll happen, despite what we might think should happen. Let's be honest. Franchise quarterbacks, number one quarterbacks, number one draft pick quarterbacks are a big deal, and missing on one is an even bigger deal, and the Glazers got in bed with Jameis Winston. So now, if you're the Glazers, I mean, look, think about this from their perspective, from Dirk Cutter's perspective, from Jason Light, although ultimately they don't matter, the Glazers are what matters, but think about it from their perspective. Like, if you cut Jameis Winston, you're probably firing Dirk Cutter and Light as well. I mean, I don't think this year would go very well. You're probably just starting a full franchise rebuild, and that's coming off of another full franchise rebuild that never really got built, and you're just sucking for a decade plus after already sucking. I mean, like, it's bad. Like, it's bad, okay? And I'm not saying that's an excuse to do other bad things. If you don't approve of Jameis Winston being quarterback, then you shouldn't have him. If the Glazers make that decision, they should cut him. But I'm just, you know, you got to look at all the possible things that are presented here to the Glazers and what they're facing, and I don't feel sorry for them one bit. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if there's any reason, if there's any iota of a way they can grasp to justify hanging on to them, whether it's, again, pointing to the alcohol issue or saying, hey, we believe that this is an isolated incident after the other four isolated incidents, I guess, in college, if they think they can say that and if they can, you know, sell that to Bucks fans in general, I think they will. The other thing to remember is, you know, what is the product on the field, which has been terrible, so that they've got no capital there. But what if Jameis comes back from his suspension, plays well, and the Bucks make the playoffs? Then a lot of you will be put to the test. Because I know it's not just Bucks fans, but I know Bucks fans and sports fans in general, and your team doing well makes a lot of bad things seem not so bad anymore. And we all are starved for the idea of hosting a playoff game or playing in a playoff game or having a winning season where games matter and all that. You know, And if that actually happens, I'm not saying that'll happen. I have no idea what'll happen in the 2018 season, especially now. But if that happens, there'll be a few people who will stick to their convictions that have said, hey, I'm anti-Jameis. I'm not going to support this franchise until he's gone, and that's that. And they won't waver no matter if the Bucs go 14-2. But then there'll be others who are saying that now, and all of a sudden they'll just kind of quiet down a little bit once the Bucs start playing well. If they start playing well, all of a sudden it won't matter as much. And, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? He's our guy, he's out there, and that's that. They'll hold their nose and cheer, as I say. Like they say, hold your nose and vote. That'll happen too. And then there's others who are just dying for the chance to see the Bucs, you know, score a touchdown in the first half for once. They don't care about anything else. So again, different ends of the spectrum. And all this comes on the heels, and the Glazers, I mean, this didn't work out well. I don't think it's a good idea, period, but it especially isn't a good idea now. The announcement this week that training camp was going to be much more limited to the general public, only 6 open practices. Season ticket holders, of course, are going to have many more opportunities, and that's kind of the point, because they want to entice people to buy season tickets, and that, again, the timing's not great. The Glazers, you know, they've planned this for a while. The Jameis thing, they didn't know when that was all going to come down, so now they're trying to squeeze people on going to practice to entice them to buy season tickets in a week where their star quarterback, who they're going to have to, again, sell to their fan base after all this if they plan on keeping him, looks about as bad as he's ever looked as a member of the franchise, and I mean off the field. And this is not the time to say, hey, you want to spring for a few season tickets? What do you think right now? This is not a bad time, dude. Bad time. And I got the calls. Maybe some of you did too. As a former season ticket holder, I get calls all the time. I'll tell you what I always tell the Bucks. I'll buy season tickets the day they fix their uniforms. I already said that to them. I said that to them before the Jameis thing. After the Jameis thing, nothing's changed. You fix your uniforms, I'm back in. Until then, I mean, I don't care how long it takes. As long as they're wearing those uniforms, I will not give a single red penny to the Bucks. Or at least season two. I'll buy them in the street from somebody, but I won't buy them from the Bucks. I won't do it. But anyway, point of this all being, you know, they're trying to now make training camp a commodity, and through that make season tickets a commodity. And I love going to training camp once or twice. I never plan it in advance. I always check like the day of, hey, I might go to camp today. Let me check out if it's an open practice. So there's just fewer opportunities to do that. Maybe one of the days I can go will fall during one of the 6 days they have. Maybe not. I have no idea. And it doesn't matter anyway. But the point of all this is, let me read another tweet I got from somebody. This is somebody on Twitter. When Booger tweeted out his tweet about Jameis being at a crossroads and he still has a chance to put the drinking issue to bed and play the final 13 games and ball out and still get his contract, which I, again, think is true, I tweeted out, and it's still on my timeline, more fatalistic people are acting like it's already over, but it's not. What Booger is saying is 1,000% true, and that's the deal right now. That's what I said, and I believe that. And I don't mean you're wrong for being fatalistic. You might end up being right. The Glazers might surprise me and do something, but I don't think they will. But either way, I got a response from someone saying, I'm sorry, man, but you're wrong. He should not have the choice to be at a crossroad. He is a problem, and he is the problem with sports. Play well and people will forget you probably raped 2 girls, sexually assaulted another, and no telling how many others haven't come forward. He says, the Bucks have a chance to do the correct thing and take the lead and change the culture of sports. That's from Pete in Sarasota. And I want to clarify, I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying Jameis deserves to be at a crossroad. I'm not saying he's not a bad guy. I'm just saying I think he will play the final 13 games. And if he plays well, again, I think this will be a distant memory. It happened with Ben Roethlisberger. And it could very well happen here. So I'm done trying to predict the future. The world these days, the past couple years, I mean, you can't even make it up. So I don't know. But what I think is that he lays low. The Glazers lay low. They let out a statement saying we condemn the behavior. But, you know, the same boilerplate stuff you get with any instance like this. And then the Bucks do what they can do with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, 2-1, 1-2, 0-3, hopefully not, but we'll see. And then Jameis starts week four, and we go from there. That's what I think will happen. That's what I think will happen. So all of us are put to the test now as fans. You can be with the Bucs still because you really believe Jameis can be a good guy and it, you know, it can change. Or you can be like me and be with the Bucs still just because you don't know what else to do. I mean, I honestly, it comes down to this, and maybe you, if you want to think less of me, you can, but all I can do is be honest with you guys. I don't know what else to do. I'm a, of all the things I am in life, I've been a Bucs fan the longest of all the things, whether it's personally, professionally, you know, obviously my family, since the day I was born, has been my family, but almost everything else in my life is predated by being a Bucs fan, because I could barely walk and I've been a Bucs fan since then. And so maybe I'm being too weak, and maybe I should say, you know what, screw these guys, or at least screw this one guy as long as he's part of the team. But I mean, I'm going to be there as a fan. I'm going to be either, not just in person, but I mean, I'm going to be there as a fan just like I always have. And I wish I didn't have to reconcile anything. I wish that was a pure, simple thing like it always used to be, but it's not anymore. And this isn't the first time. I mean, this is the highest profile time, but the Bucs had Jeremy Stephens on their team, and he's far from the only other one, but he was a demonstrably terrible human. And they had him. Now, he wasn't the quarterback, and it wasn't as well publicized and things like that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google Jeremy Stephens. And I'm sure there's been many other players on not just the Bucs, but on all the teams we go to the stadium and watch on the field, whether it's for the Bucs or against the Bucs, that have been terrible people. I'm going to keep trying to separate that as best I can so I can justify staying a Bucs fan, because that's what I really want to do. And then there's the third group of people who are just like, nope, not going to do it. And that's fine too. It's an unfortunate decision to have to make. I don't know why this crap keeps on happening. I wish it wouldn't happen anymore. But with all that said, and I love hearing from you guys, you can go to my Twitter account and tweet at me as well, at Bobby Game Day. You can email me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. I love hearing from you. What's going to happen now, I think, and again, the Glazers could shock us all and do something with Jameis, but I don't think they will. What's going to happen now, I think, is it's going to be kind of quiet for a few weeks. Training camp's going to start soon. I mean, we're getting July. Next time I do a show, it'll be July, and late July is training camp. There'll be an initial media push, you know, the first time Jameis takes the field at practice. Bucs will have to do something about it. Just look, we're not going to do questions about this every day, you know. Jameis will eventually have to talk to the media, though, like not just by statement, like live and in person. That'll be kind of a big deal. And then we'll get into the doldrums of the preseason. He'll serve a suspension, and then we'll come back in week four. That's really what I think will happen. You can write it down and mock me if I'm wrong. I'm not even sure if I hope I'm wrong or not, to be honest with you. But anyway, again, Twitter at Bobby Game Day. I love hearing from you. Email me, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. That's this week's free stretch. I don't anticipate any more news coming down. And in the meantime, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the Joes for having me, again, on this website. The ability to do a show every week and get out and say these things is cathartic, if nothing else. But it's definitely a pledge either way. My next show will be after the 4th of July, so take care of yourselves out there. Let's not blow any digits off wherever you're going to be, whatever you're doing. And again, going back to what I said earlier, okay? And again, not trying to talk condescendingly or paternalistically, but alcohol, okay? Watch the alcohol. 4th of July is a big alcohol holiday. Have some, fine, but just, man, for the ones out there that it's a central part of what you're doing, not that you all are like Jameis Winston, but maybe use this Jameis Winston as a reason to say, hey, I'm going to try and make some changes, back it off a little bit, be more moderate, you know, try and have some good come out of all this crap that happens all the time. And take care of yourselves. I will do a show next week. I'm going to the mountains for a little while, but not long. I may do a show while I'm up there, or I'll do it when I get back. Either way, that is the free stretch to close out the month of June 2018. I'm Bobby Fenton. Thank you to all of you for listening, and wherever you are, even today, especially maybe today, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.